Sometimes we use worship to get you ready for the message. I know it's more than that, but you've had a business session. What more could you want to launch into preaching than a business session? Let's have a seat. And we can only go up from here. Nah, it's all good. Have you ever got to the end of something that you've given absolutely everything in? You know, you feel completely spent. You've given everything and someone says, hey, let's go again. Maybe you've done that gym session and you've got to the point where, you know, you have, your training partner has pushed you beyond where you felt you could ever get to. And there is nothing left. And they say, hey, just let's do one more rep. And it's like, oh, I got nothing. But somehow you seem to do it. Or maybe you're a runner or something like that, and you finish the run and you'd set your mind on whatever the finish line was, or the goal, or the period, or the number of Ks, and you got to that, and your running partner, Stephen Fogarty, says, we're not done yet. let's do another K, or in his case, another 10 or 15. I used to regularly, when I perhaps had a little more time flexibility than I do in my current season, I'd often finish rides on a Saturday morning, and these rides weren't easy. They were pretty hard. So we'd get back to the coffee shop where we mostly finished, and you know, I was spent, and there was a particular guy that used to ride with me, and he was a bit of a machine. And we'd finish, and he'd say to me at the end of the ride, we used to finish at this coffee shop over in Lindisfarne, which is on the eastern side of the Derwent, for those that are not from Hobart. And I'd have to sort of ride back over the bridge to come home. And he would always have this other plan. He would say, you know, why don't we, Dave, why don't we go and do a sneaky bonnet? That meant to ride to the top of a hill called Bonnet Hill, which is sort of, on the way to Kingston here. And, you know, let's just do that in. And I was spent. I had nothing left, but perhaps pride and perhaps some other things meant that I'd say, yeah. And I didn't want to do it and I didn't feel like doing it, but, I'd do it. The long-term effect of it was that actually I got much fitter and I learned to push through some pain zones. I learned that I was capable of more than I thought that I was capable of. I learned a lot of things in that. I developed some cycling character even in those times, because when it was a sneaky bonnet and he knew I was spent, he didn't make it easy for me. He was just that little bit faster than me, which meant that I was always in pain. And I think he enjoyed it. At work, it might be, you know, one more project when you felt like you're winding down for the end of the year. Whatever it is, it's often hard to feel motivated to go again when we feel like we've finished, when we feel like we've given everything. Critical moment in the calling of Simon Peter. When this guy goes from professional fisherman to aka fisher of men, was this moment where he felt like he'd given everything. Been up all night. Been out with his business partners, done the hard yards, slogged away. They came back, nothing. Suddenly the day sort of gets a little better, because Jesus, this radical teacher who was gaining a following, they didn't really completely understand what it was about, but they knew something was going on, said, Peter, can I use your boat? Can I use your boat to preach from? Peter said, well, you might as well. It's no good for catching fish. You might as well have it. So Jesus stands in this boat and delivers this incredible message. And at the end of that message, Jesus presents Peter, who had been up all night, and if you like, it's that season of the dark moments of the soul, when at the end of that, Jesus presents him with an opportunity to go again. An opportunity to launch from the safety and the rest of the boat ramp, the beach, the coffee shop, and get into deep water. When they'd fished all night, when they brought their boats back empty, when their nets were empty, when there was no fruit in their ministry, when they weren't experiencing the days of revival, so-called breakthrough, Jesus comes to them and presents them with an opportunity to go again. Luke 5 verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Now, unlike my cycling partner, who was quite sadistic and would enjoy seeing pain face on me, that wasn't Jesus' motivation. He wasn't wanting to subject Peter to more pain and more suffering, like sometimes our training partners might do in the gym. Jesus actually wanted to do something good for Peter. In this opportunity, Jesus wanted to do something good for Peter. And sometimes in the hard work and the slog and all the stuff in ministry, we can actually miss the point that Jesus wants to do something good for you. Peter and his business partners end up incredibly blessed, but Jesus is showing Simon Peter here that there was more available to him. There was more blessing available to him. There was more calling available to him. But his experience, his mindset, had the potential to negate the blessing in that moment. It had the potential to negate what God was wanting to do. But thankfully, you know, he responded and he trusted Jesus as his master, as his commander, and he was prepared to go with Jesus over his experience, over his current mindset, and step out into the deep water one more time. It says this, I want to read that from the Passion Translation now, starting at verse 4. It says, Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished, he said to Peter, now row out into deep water and cast your net out and you will have a great catch. Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and let down our nets because of your word. When they pulled in their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish, so much that their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until their boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, astonishing miracle. He knelt at Jesus' feet and begged him. He said, "Go away from me, Master, for I am a sinful man." After pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Most of you know that passage pretty well, don't you? You've heard a bucket load of messages preached about it. If you don't take away anything else from today, just get this revelation. Jesus wants to do you good. There is more. Your season's not finished. You haven't had your heyday. And there's all this stuff that clouds our ministry thinking and all that. But I think sometimes we've just got to actually have a step back and say, "Master, I know that you want to do me good." His experience, his mindset nearly negated him from receiving the blessing. I wonder how many times Jesus wants to do us something good. I wonder how many times he says to us, "There is more," but our experience or our current mindset negates us from receiving the blessing. Our experience says, "Hey, we've done that before. We've been there before." Peter's experience is, "We've been fishing all night. We've worked hard. Go again, Jesus. What? Are you on drugs? It's pointless. We're tired. And more than that, Jesus, we know what's out there." Who stood up in their church to do a salvation altar call? And you look around and you think, "I know what's out there." There's not an unsaved person in sight. Or maybe there is, but he wasn't concentrating. Why don't we just move into some nice, soft, warm ministry? Why don't I pray a prayer that makes everybody like me? You've preached your heart out. You've had one of those weeks. But somehow the voice of the Holy Spirit says, "Go again. Go again. Let down your net." And I don't know how many times I've stood there and felt like that. Looked out. I know what's out there. But not because of my emotion. Not because of some great anointing of the Holy Spirit, but because I have a value. It says people should be always given an opportunity to come to Jesus because I've got a value that I am not in this. Just to make people feel good. I'm a fisherman. And we give that opportunity and people respond. So many times. "Go again. Let down your nets for a catch." Peter says, you know, like I can imagine him saying to Jesus, "I know boats, you know timber. Come on." Jesus says, "Yeah, Peter. I know boats. You know boats, Peter, but there is more. There is more." Maybe Peter would have been satisfied that this radical, charismatic teacher that was gaining popularity just happened to preach in his boat. I mean, that notoriety could have got him through the next year. "Oh, you're the guy Jesus preached in your boat. Hey, how can I five, you know? Wow, what was it like, you know? Oh, yeah, I actually feel good just because you know Jesus and I'm standing next to you." And sometimes our ministry world can be like that. You've had, you know, you've been next to some people that God's used amazingly. You've been in the world of some Christian celebrity. You've been around greatness, and or you've had those people minister in your church, and you sort of look back and think, wow, they were great days. Perhaps you've had some glory days. There is more. Perhaps you've had a season where God has worked incredibly in your world, but you're at the moment you've just felt like you've been fishing all night. There is more. Jesus wants to do you good. Jesus wants to do you good. Maybe you've been serving faithfully. Fantastic. There is more. Maybe you've been serving faithfully and you're coming into retirement and you think, well, it's going to change. There is more. Look at Ian Krudoff. You wouldn't believe it, but he tells me that he has a 20-year-old granddaughter. There is more. He says, okay, there's an opportunity to get alongside the family in Tasmania and work there. There is more. Come on. I've been so flat out in my business. There is more. Here's the word of God for some people here this morning, I believe, and I feel this really strongly, prophetically. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel the weight of expectation. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus wants to do you something good. Jesus wants to do something good for you. And I think there are people here right now, and you actually need to receive that. You need to get it in your spirit that the reason he's asking you to go again is not to tire you out, not to see you do one more painful session, not to see you humiliated again. He wants to do you good. He wants you in a position where you can receive. He wants you in a position where you can have a miracle in your world. He wants you in a position where a miracle will happen in your church. He wants us as his church in this state to be in a position where miracles start to happen, where we have a different spirit, where we go to new places, where we're not defined by our past, where we're not defined by our size, and we're not defined by our mindsets, but we know that Jesus wants to do something good. I think this is the day. We've got to receive this. We've got to take it on board. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you mightily in his kingdom. And he wants you to experience more. When Alex and I decided to stand and believe more audaciously for our church, and when we believed that we could see some breakthrough, and we got a whole lot more serious about that, the thing that surprised us and the journey that initially God took us on was he actually started to break through in us. We weren't standing there praying about those things. But he brought financial breakthrough to our world. Yeah, there were some tough decisions that had to be made, but things turned around in that area much faster and at a greater scale than what we'd expected or what we'd imagined. And even in the church, as we've had a season where we haven't been flushed with funds like the rest of you. And you know, you sit in a board meeting and we're going to make calls on these things, and pastors love that. And I don't recommend this, but it was what we did for the season. So I said, okay, that's all right. Alex and I, we'll go one day less a week. We'll drop a day each a week. We'll reduce our wage. And I can tell you that God has more than replenished and replaced what we've let go there. And I'm not saying you should do that, but sometimes in season ministry, these things happen and we've got to do them and it's not a sustainable way to live or operate. But you know what? God wants to do you good. Jesus wants to do you good. And so often he was showing us that he was going to break through in our life before he brought us into that season of breakthrough in the church. He wants to do us good. And then we go through our own dark season of the soul. We have the toughest 3 months of our life where we feel like we've emotionally got absolutely nothing. Where you hear Wayne talking about his things. I was so angry one morning on my bike. And on a bike, it's a twofold thing. It's not a bad place to be angry, because if you want to fight, you can find one. And one morning, a guy reels off some expletive at me, as they do. And when I'm in a good place, I wave and keep going. This morning, I stopped and I went back and I looked in his window and said, "Were you speaking to me?" No, mate, I was that guy over there. But my moment was, my moment of a little emotional audit was that I was very happy if he punched me. An excuse for a fight was just what I wanted. It would have made me happy. Thankfully, I've got people that care. Thankfully, I had somebody that drove from one end of the state to the other to hang out and be with me and pray with me and speak life into me. And in that dark moment where God says, "Just go again, Dave. Just get up. Just keep leading. Keep proclaiming. Keep declaring." We've seen some incredible breakthrough. We saw that in our personal lives. Alongside that, we've had the journey's not over yet, but we've had an incredible miracle with our building. Where I get on the phone to a real estate guy and say, "Hey, what's the magic number?" And he says, $9 million. My heart sunk. Because we had a significant amount of money, but it wasn't $9 million. But I couldn't let it go. And we found a way, and eventually I'm thinking, "Oh, God's nearly there." We get to the table and we're sitting down. And the real estate guy's all smiles. "I think we can do a deal here. We're only $1 million apart." Amazing thing. We had a word from God and we stuck to our guns and he's come through. In that moment of having to go again, when my tank was empty. Not because Jesus wanted to see pain face. Not because he wanted to take me beyond what I can handle or to take me into a place that would do me harm. Because I've got to trust what he says. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But he wanted to do me and our church and a whole lot of other people good. So how can we position ourselves for more when we work hard in ministry? I think, number one, we've got to trust Jesus over your experience and your current mindset. Trust Jesus over your experience and your current mindset. You know, our experience is good from a skill level and knowing what to do, but our experience can also be a dog. Our experience can actually say, you don't go to that place because it bit you last time. Or we tried that once and it's not going to work. And our experience actually wants to stop us going back to a place of actually faith and trust in Jesus because we know what would happen in that place last time. You know, trust in Jesus over your experience and your mindset and step into more. He wants to do you good. Peter says, Master, we've toiled all night. Now, the ancient Greek word used here was epstasia or epstat. I can never say these things. I practice them beforehand, and when I go to say them, they just... I speak English. Or Australian. Or Tasmanian. Can do South African badly. But the ancient Greek word, epistata, How is that, Stephen? The word conveys the idea of commander, leader, or perhaps even boss. And Peter showed a willingness not just to have a celebrity in his boat, not just to be around greatness. Not just to be calling Jesus pastor. But to say, boss. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I trust you enough to go again. And how can we get, as leaders, sometimes we think, I wish my people would follow me like that. I wish there was that sort of thing. Well, you know what I think that the critical thing to gain that sort of respect is somehow Peter got that revelation that Jesus wanted to do him good. And he was prepared to say, boss, whatever you say. If we want to be leaders where people are prepared to follow us even when they don't know all the details, even when it doesn't make complete sense, they've got to understand that we want to do them good. Peter was an expert when it came to fishing. Jesus was the expert when it came to miracles. He trusted Jesus beyond his expertise, experience, in his current state of mind. All right, how can we position ourselves for more? Number two, I think we've got to place his word over experience, expertise, and emotions. Place his word over experience, expertise, and emotions. Sometimes our experience becomes our revelation. Have you ever been there? Oh yeah, we've been through that, so I've got a revelation. Whereas actually our revelation should come from the Word and from God Himself, and often it can be disconnected from our experience. At your word, I will let down your net. This was Peter's great statement of faith and trust in Jesus' word. Kingdom people throughout history have gone again at the word of Jesus. The great reformers. You know, it doesn't matter which hero of the faith you think about. They've actually often had a failed ministry, a failed time, or things haven't worked, but somehow they've got this revelation and this word, and they've gone again and they've seen incredible breakthrough. And it's got to be an understanding. It's got to be a heart that Jesus wants to do us good. At his word, Pastor Alan, there was light. At his word, the sun, moon, stars, and planets were created. At his word, life came to this earth. At his word, creation is held in place. At his word, empires rise and fall. At his word, breakthrough and blessing will come to your world. If you want to position yourself for more, Because in Jesus, there is more and he wants to give you more. Let's place his word over our experience, expertise and emotion. Come on. And I'm not saying to be stupid. Your experience is fantastic. But it's got to be tempered with faith. Your emotions are there for a reason. Your emotions are actually there to stop you burning out. Your emotions are there to sometimes tell you that you've gone actually as far as you can. Your emotions are there to tell you that you need to take a weekend off, or you need to take a month off, or you need to do something different. Your emotions are there even when I was in that critical position. My emotions were there to tell me something is wrong here, Dave. Your expertise. Wow, you need your expertise. We need more of that. We need to have that. But our expertise sometimes can actually stop us stepping into the faith realm and going again. Because you know what? I understand this. I understand people. I've been around these churches a long time. I get this stuff. When we took our church on from Pastor Kevin, there were things that I thought I knew and not much that I did. But we did, there were two things that were sort of quite large things in the church at the time. We did a conference, Energizer Conference, some of you remember that. I'd grown up through that. I thought I got it. I thought I understood it. And we just launched this other thing called Church Together. I was intimidated by Church Together. I sort of thought I understood Energizer. That's where I felt I had a little bit of expertise. As far as stepping into a city and saying to a whole lot of pastors and leaders, and I'm old now, but I was young then. Let's come on a journey. And as I sat and I talked to people, I was just amazed at the grace of God. Because it wasn't about anything that I had. It wasn't about runs that I had on the board. It wasn't about that. There was just an anointing that God put on to go and do that. You see, He wants to work beyond our expertise. Yeah, He'll use stuff that we got, but He wants to work beyond that. How can we position ourselves for more? Well, tried to think of a fancier way to say this. Tried to think of having a positive word rather than a negative word, but I didn't get it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the reason that I say it in that word, don't be afraid, is that, you know, is fear going to leave us? Is fear going to be something that you're going to get to this such incredible position of faith that you never experience it again? Well, if you do, you're living in a comfort zone where you were never created to live. Fear is going to be there, just like the dark. Don't be afraid. In other words, you know, that the fear will be there, but don't let being afraid be the very thing that defines you and makes you. Don't be overwhelmed. Hold your nerve. Listen to the way that Jesus talks to Peter. Simon Peter and the other fishermen, including his partners Jacob and John, the sons of Zebedee, were awestruck over the miracle and the catch of fish. How many times have you been awestruck at the miracle in another church or in another ministry or another place and you have recoiled from your calling? How many times have you gone to a conference and thought, wow, that was big? But me and the missus, we're just down in Signet, and our world is different. And We recoil from what we've actually been asked to do because of the miracle that happened somewhere else. And in that moment, Peter was the recipient of a miracle, but in that moment he goes to Jesus and he's overwhelmed by the miracle. And he says to Jesus, I don't think I can be around you. This is all too much. I'm aware of my sin. I'm aware of my shortcomings. I'm aware of the fact that you're an incredible preacher and I'm just a fisherman that can't pronounce Greek I don't know if I'm going to cut it. And Jesus says, do not yield to your fear, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men for salvation. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt at Jesus' feet and begged him, go away from me, Master, for I am a sinful man. After pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything behind and they followed Jesus. Wow. Even after he'd been through all the stuff, even after he'd made sure that his experience, his mindset, the fact that he was fatigued, the fact that he'd worked all night, the fact that he hadn't had success, the fact that all those things that had gone on, even that had happened in this next moment, in when he's actually received the miracle, he nearly walks away from it. He nearly blows it all. And Jesus actually has to take him into a whole new place and say, Peter, I am going to spend the next 3 years showing you and helping you understand how you can live in success and victory and understand how to be the custodian of miracles. Here's something I think we've got to really get in Tassie at the moment. Is that we're playing a long game. I grew up in a brethren church, praise God. There's some great things about it, but something that I don't think's been that helpful to the psyche of Christians is living every day as if Jesus is coming back. Now, I get why that was said, and I get the understanding, and what we were trying to say is, you know, we're living with a... with an intensity and an urgency. But sometimes it meant that we're not living beyond the immediate. That we're not planning for the next generation. That we're not realizing that what God is doing in you now, even if you don't see all the miracles and all the rewards and all the reaping, that you are setting up another generation for success. That you are changing something over the generations, over time, over. Over a longer period of time. It's nothing to God, but it can seem long to us, can't it? We're playing a long game. And some of the obvious things you see when you look around this room. We're not young enough. Nothing wrong with being old. It's good. It's a privilege. It's an honor. But you know what? We've got to start playing a long game. We've actually got to start investing into the future. We've got to say, we're going to go again once more where we're actually planning and sowing for the generations that come. We've actually got to get alongside Pastor Matt as he reaches into the next, not just, well, I'm not talking about somehow subcontracting it out to Matt, but I'm talking about the spirit of what we've got to have in this state and in this movement where we're going to make sure that we've got, you know, a pipeline and a flow and a pathway for people to come through and to bring that next generation through. And what I say is, let's hold our nerve. Let's not panic. Let's realize that God is calling us to go again. Let's realize that He wants to do us something good. Let's realize that there is incredible blessing. But let's hold our nerve in that, because Jesus hasn't changed. He hasn't walked away. And our great days are ahead of us. And I believe we're playing a long game, but I believe that we're going to see some incredible breakthroughs and blessings in the much nearer future too. You're going to see God do some amazing things in your churches, in your ministries. You know, even as you walk back from this conference, hopefully you're only walking if you choose to. Come on. Let's hold our nerve. Let's play a long game. Let's position ourselves for more. Let's move our mindset to where we get to a place where we understand that Jesus wants to do you good. If we can be leaders that understand that our master, our commander, our boss wants to do us good, you know what? We're going to just naturally do a whole lot of good. We're going to raise a generation of secure, credible followers of Jesus that go to amazing places. Tasmania has got a different spirit. Why don't you stand? Why don't you just receive right now? Just believe there are people here and you're thinking that feeling of going again, stepping out in the deep water seems a little daunting. Take a risk again on someone that might leave, somebody that mightn't be there, someone that might betray. Let's just shift our thinking. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I want to do you good. Let's pray that there will be courage, there will be vision to go again, to release leaders, to call out an emerging generation, to plant churches, send missionaries. To bless communities. Thank you, Jesus.